So I'm going to talk about modal logic, which is kind of like an extension to, I mean, it's a name for like lots of different possible extensions to lots of different logical systems, where you add on the possibility to qualify how a statement is true. So you usually say, oh, this statement is necessarily true, which sounds a little wishy-washy, but there are more like concrete things that you can talk about. So first I want to say, like, what do I mean by a logical system? Like, logic system. So in a logic system, you have a bunch of things. You have a language. Which is like a set of sentences. And I'll write down a concrete example soon. You have some axioms, which is a subset of your language, so a few sentences which you say are true to begin with. And you have deduction rules, which are like ways to prove things. So it's like how you get new theorems from old theorems, right? And so these are like, okay, if you want to be fancy, these are maps from like something like this. Basically, I think it'll be more clear when I write down an explicit example. And from all of these, you get a set of theorems. Which are, again, like, in your set of sentences. And these are, like, all the things you can prove, starting from the axioms and performing the deduction rules. Okay? A fancy way to define the set would be to say it's the smallest set, which contains the axioms and is closed under the deduction. Okay, so let's do an explicit example, which is propositional calculus. And this is like just a system of logic about very basic things. Think sentences like, if it is, like, it is either raining or not raining, right? Or if it's raining, and if it's raining, then I am wet, then I am wet, right? Very basic things like that. So what's the language? The language consists of some propositional variables. And there are, like, infinitely many of them, so you can write, like, okay, an infinite list of these. You have, then if you have two things, then you can do, like, or, right? So if alpha and beta are both sentences in the language, right, then alpha or beta is a sentence in the language. Do you guys have you seen this symbol before? So this means like alpha or beta, right? Although up to now I haven't really said that this has to mean something. Right now it's just a symbol, right? But that's what it's going to mean, right? And also you can do not. If alpha is in the language, then not alpha is in the language, right? So, for example, you can do like P and, or Q or not Q or P or Q or not R. And there are shortcuts here. Like P and Q means not P or means this. Right? P is Q and Q is true is the same as like it's not true that either not P is true or not Q is true. And also P implies Q means that P or not Q, right? So I could have either like put these in the language directly, but really it's, you know, like these are just shortcuts for different things, right? People like to get away with defining as little as they can, right? Then I'm not going to list all the axioms you need, but I'll put down a couple, right? You have like things like this: P implies Q implies R implies P implies Q implies P implies R, and you have more. So these are things which should be true no matter what P and Q are, right? If P is it's raining, right, and Q is like Obama is president, it doesn't matter whether these are true or false, right? If it's rain, did I get this right?
No, he is
right. Yeah. If it's raining, then it's raining implies that Obama is president, right? Remember, this is like the logical implication. This doesn't mean that Obama is president because it's raining, right? This just means that if this is true, then this is true. But didn't I get this off? Did I get this backwards? Maybe this should be like this, right? Yeah. I need it like this. So, it's not raining, right? Which means that this is true. Okay. If it were raining, then no matter what, this is true, right? Okay. I think I flipped these when I first wrote it. And then you have deduction rules. Deduction rules. You have two. One is this. So what this means is if alpha is a theorem and alpha implies beta is a theorem, then beta is a theorem. And you have uniform substitution, which I won't write down formally, but it means that if you have, like, if P appears in some formula a bunch of times, you can replace all those P's with any formula, okay? So if P appears in a theorem a bunch of times, you can get a new theorem by just substituting for P. Okay. So let's talk about what this really means, right? What do we want it to mean if this is a theorem? So what do we want it to mean if some sentence is a theorem of propositional calculus? What it means is that no matter what your variables are, that statement is always true. Okay? And it is not directly obvious that that's exactly what a theorem means. Because here I've just done a dry thing about symbol manipulation, right? Now I can talk about, like, what do I want the symbols to mean, okay? So, and that's called, like, the semantics of the logical system, what I want the symbols to mean. So, evaluation for propositional calculus is a map from the variables to true or and false. Right? And then you can extend that so let's call this map V. You can extend it to V tilde, which goes from the whole language to true, false, in the way that you think, right? Like, you know, by using those truth tables, like P, you know, like V of alpha or beta is true if and only if alpha is true. So V of alpha true or right. So you see I'm defining this extension by like recursion. Right. And now a theorem is that some sentence is a theorem. Okay, right? I used theorem twice, but a mathematical theorem, right, is that a sentence is a theorem of propositional calculus if and only if it always comes out true, no matter what V is. Okay? No matter what choices I make for my variables. So, this is like the fundamental theorem of PC is that alpha is a theorem of propositional calculus, where this is in the language of propositional calculus, if and only if, for all choices of true-false of the variables, alpha comes out to be true. Okay. So there's an easier direction and a harder direction of this theorem. The easier direction is this one. Is that right? Yeah, because what you do is you induct, right? You see, you can build any theorem by starting from the axioms and applying these deduction rules a bunch of times. So what you show is, okay, this is true for all the axioms, that if any axiom will always come out to one, no matter what I plug in for P and Q, okay? And then I show that if it's true for alpha and beta, you know, and this is a theorem, and this is a theorem, then it's true for this. Okay. So you just do induction. The other direction is harder. Okay. So that's what propositional. So it's a very simple logic system, and this kind of says that it says, you know, we can prove everything that we expect to be able to prove, okay? Right. It also says something interesting, which is that, so what's it called? Corollary. Is that how you spell corollary? Or is it with an A? Good Good. This is decidable. What this means is, if you hand me a sentence, I can decide in finite time whether or not it's appearing, right? Because I just have to check every possible combination of P is true, Q is false, etc., etc.
Right.
You see, like, I could try to do that by, if I didn't know this, right, and you handed me a sentence, I could try to start proving it, right? But I would never know, you know, if I prove it, then I know it's a theorem. I would never know that I'm eventually going to prove it, right? Okay. Or if I'm just never going to succeed. So this is a really strong thing, and it says that propositional calculus is kind of like a done deal. Okay. So now we get to the exciting stuff. Modal. So.
Modal logic.
So this is going to be another logical system, and it's going to be an extension of the propositional calculus. So we're going to add to the language L of PC, we're going to add that if alpha is in language, then box alpha is in language. And box alpha is what we're going to read as alpha is necessarily true. Okay? And like I said, that sounds a little wishy-washy, but there are more, like, less philosophical interpretations of this box. Right? So, complete that sentence. So, for any sentence, I can add box to the beginning. And the deduction rules, the axioms, we add the following axiom. Okay, so this says, if it's necessarily true that P implies Q, and P is necessarily true, then Q is necessarily true. Okay, it's hard to think about. And we add one deduction rule. So we add this way to get new theorems. If we have a theorem, we can put a box in front of it, and it's still a theorem. Okay. So as a caution about this, this does not mean so. This doesn't mean alpha implies box alpha is a theorem, right? So, for example, right, one way we can interpret this box instead of necessarily, which is more concrete, is box alpha means alpha will be true forever. Okay. Now, if alpha is a theorem, so e.g., let's do the e.g. up here. For example, so e.g., suppose box alpha means alpha true
forever. Right? So, like, okay. First, I'll convince you that the deduction rule makes sense. Well, maybe convince. You know, like, if alpha means it's raining, right? Well, alpha or not alpha is a theorem. Okay, let's see. P or not P is a theorem. Because it's a theorem of propositional calculus, right? And so you can get it, right? Because this is strictly an extension of propositional calculus.
Right.
Any theorem of propositional calculus is a theorem of this new thing. And so Box is a theorem. Right? It will always be true that it's either raining or not raining. Right? But it could be, let's see, right now it's not raining. Not P is true now. But Box not P is false. Right? So definitely not P implies Box not P is false. So I said, okay, you can think of this as alpha is necessarily true. You can think of it as alpha is true forever. You could think of it like, here's an interpretation I like. It could mean that you're doing some computation. So an interpretation of Box. We're doing some computation. And, well, if it's a, what's it called? Computation that doesn't depend on anything else. There's a name, like, you run a computer program and don't interact with it, and there's no random elements. Deterministic, right? If it's a deterministic computation, well, like, your computer is at this step, and then at this step, and then at this step, right? But then if there's, like, user interaction, like in, like, a video game or something, or, like, rolling a dice, then it could branch off. And, you know, from this step, you might go here or here, right? And then, like, you might branch off in weird ways, right? So, Box could mean, Box alpha could mean that alpha is definitely true at the next step. Right? And then, you know, you could use this to think about, like, proving that this computation does something. Okay. There's another shortcut here, another, like, shortcut symbol. So, diamond alpha means not Box alpha. Not Box, not alpha, right? Which is kind of reminiscent of how you can define and in terms of or, right? And this is supposed to mean alpha is possible. Okay? So this is like alpha is possible if it's not true that alpha is necessarily not true. Or this is also like defining exists in terms of for all, right? There exists something if it's not true, you know, right? So like here, diamond alpha would mean alpha may be true at the next step.
So, up to here, right, we're just talking about, I mean, I've told you what I want the interpretations to kind of mean, right? But here, I'm just talking about formal manipulations of strings, right? Just like in propositional calculus, you define all these ways to formally manipulate your sentences, you get a bunch of theorems, right? Then the next thing you think about, well, maybe it's probably the first thing you think about, but like, the next thing you do in like defining all this is you can say a way to interpret a sentence and say whether it's true or false. And so that's what I'll talk about now. A way to assign true or false to these sentences, right? And it looks a lot like what I put here, okay? So what it's going to be is like this. We say a universe, this is just a fancy name for a relation, okay? Is a set W, which we say is like the set of worlds, and a relation on. Which just means like a map from W cross W to true false, right? So, but we usually write that as like W1 or W2 to mean that W1, you might say W1, the world 1 sees world 2. Okay? And if you're thinking about this as necessarily, this is supposed to mean, you know, you're at some world, and then there's all these possible states of the universe that you can imagine. Right? Now, alpha will necessarily be true if it's true at every state of the universe. Okay? So we start with a map from the propositional variables across the worlds to true and false, right? So each world, you decide, right, is it raining and is Obama president, right? And then extend this by, okay, so V alpha or beta will be true if and only if V alpha is true or the beta is true. That's the reason. That's when you know. Right. And then V of box alpha is true if and only if for all. Oh. Each of these statements can be true or false at each world separately, right? So this is supposed to be a map from sentences across worlds. So at each world, you know, alpha or beta is true if alpha is true at that world or beta is true at that world, right? And what does it mean for box alpha to be true? It means that at every world that this world can see, alpha is true. So for all W prime, so that this world can see W prime, alpha is true. So here's like an example. Let's make this prettier, right? In our computation, we have some graph of where you can go at the next step, right? And that defines a relation. This sees this if I can get to there at the next step, right? So let's like just throw down an example, right? Let's say P is true here, Q is false here, P is true here, Q is false here, P is true here, Q is true here, P is true here, Q, let's say P is false here, Q is true here, right? And let's call these like 1, 2, 3, 4. Right. So for example, what is this? Well, here's one, right? I guess I need to say here. Okay. Is it true that at every world that one can see, box alpha is true? So is both, what are the worlds one can see? It can see 2 and 3. V box P 2. So let's look at these. V box P at 3. So let's see. This is true, right? This first one is true because 4 is the only world that 2 can see, and P is 3, 2, true there. Right? So this is true. But this is false, right? Because world 3 can see world 4, and P is false there. Right? So box box P is false at world 1. Or like, okay, I told you you can think of box as alpha will always be true. Okay. So if we have this interpretation, maybe we have like a linear time. So the world, all the worlds are every instance of time, which I can label with real numbers. Okay. And the relation will be less than or equal to, right? Or I could say the relation is less than if I mean every instance of time after this one. Right. So then like this is false, right? Because Obama will not be president in, I don't know, 10 years. Right? I guess 1 year, right? Or like V like 2020, right? I'm being loose with what I mean here. So this would be true, right? Because like you can only be president for 8 years. So if I look at 2020, every year in the future, Obama will not be president. Right. Okay. So, the cool thing is, just like
thinking about plugging in ones and zeros for those variables was enough in propositional calculus. Like, we had that statement that something is a theorem if and only if it's true no matter what you plug in, right? We have a similar thing here, okay? So what we have is something is a theorem of this system, which is called K. So this is system K. Named for Kripke. So something is true in system K, so theorem. Alpha is a theorem of system K, if and only if, for all universes, right? So like for all possible relations, for all choices of variables being true or false, and at all worlds, alpha is true. So V of alpha W is true. So once again, like the easier direction is this one, right? Proving that if alpha is a theorem, then this is true. Because you just induct on the theorems, right? Going the other way is harder, and maybe we can talk a little bit how you do it. But I want to look at a few examples of things which are not theorems. Well, I was about, my notes say, are these theorems? So I was about to ask you if these things were theorems, but the answer is no, but tell me why. So, are these theorems? So, if something is necessarily true, then is it necessarily true? Right? So this is why I don't like the necessarily thing, because it sounds really confusing. But so, is this a theorem of K? No. No. Can you show that it's not a theorem? here's maybe an easier one, right? Let's see this one first. So, if something is necessarily true, then it's true. Is that a theorem?
He doesn't imply that he's necessarily true.
Right. So remember, this is not a theorem. Right. If you allow me to use this, right, so proof that it's not a theorem, think about this. Think about this universe, right? So, here's world one, and here's world two, right? At world one, P is true, but box P is false, right? So,
this can see it's true, but
this guy is able to see here, here P is true, but here P is false. So this is not a true. Okay. Before we get back to this, let's keep thinking about this one. Suppose now that I add this as another axiom, right? Because that's what I want to say, like, if something is necessarily, I'm trying to capture the notion of necessarily true, and I want to say if something is necessarily true, it better be true, right? Or maybe box is supposed to be that I know it's true, right? If I know it's true, it better be true. So suppose I add this to as an axiom, right, to my statement, to my system, right? Now this would be false if I replace this statement, right? But I can make a restriction on the kinds of relations I allow. So what goes wrong here? Why is it that this is false here? Or like, can we add an arrow to this picture so that this is true?
Because that's all.
Yeah. If for all, so this is, if for all worlds, the world sees itself, then it's always true that then this is always true. Right? Because if I do this, now this is false. So this statement is true. Right. And it turns out if you replace universations. If you replace this, all universes with all universes which are reflexive. In other words, the relation is such that W always sees itself. If you replace that and you replace this system with the system where we add this, then we get the same statement. In this one, this is false if your thing is not transitive. So, for example, we can make an example where this is false, right? By saying here, who do I want? Box P. So, I want P to be true here, but P to be false here. And this guy sees this guy, sees that guy. Right? So it's false. Right? Because here, box P is true. So here, box P is true. But here, box P is false. So, equivalently here, if you add this as an axiom, right, and change this to mean universes where the relation is transitive, right, then this statement still holds. Right. So, that is kind of cool. And there's a whole bunch of different things you can add, right? Like, Box P implies, let's do one more, right? Let's think about this, right? In this, I can make it false by having this. Right? Because this is like how for all x, which are both greater than 0 and less than 0, x is equal to a rabbit, right? That's a true statement because the for all is trivial, right? But there exists an x which is positive, which is bigger than 0 and less than 0 and equal to a rabbit, is false, right? So, I mean, I could even make this a less silly thing, right? But if I have a dead end, right, then it's possible that if I have something, some world which doesn't see anything, then box alpha is always true, right? But this might be false. So this is true if there are no dead ends. And in fact, from this guy, from this, you can deduce this. So, system K, which was like the basic thing we originally talked about, and then adding this includes this. In terms of worlds, you can kind of guess that, because this means you have to be able to see yourself. And if you see yourself, then you see something, so you're not a dead end, right? But you could also actually deduce this from this using just rules of logic, and let's do that in 1 minute, right? You see, starting from here, I can substitute P for not P. Right? That's the thing where I just replace every instance of a variable with some formula. And now, the rule of propositional calculus tells me I can use, like, the contrapositive. So I get that P I get this. And then what is diamond? Remember, diamond is not box not. Right? So this is the same as this. So that's the same as. Oh, I forgot. So I should have added a negative sign to both, right? So it's this, right? Because I negated this, and I negated this. So I get this, right? So then I would get this by replacing box with not diamond. No. Right? And then I have another one. So, the theorems of this system include the theorems of this system. So, we're out of time, but I hope you had fun. Well, like, the easy way to generate things that are true is to just, like, apply your deduction rules over and over again, right? Like, you can, you know, you have, you start with a list of axioms, and then you start figuring out where you can apply deduction rules, and that just generates things, right? So you can write a computer to spew out. Yeah, well, every theorem is propositional. Yeah, every, I mean, in any logical system, you can always do that, right? The tricky thing and why, you know, the tricky thing is having a theorem and knowing whether it's true. You can't use your computer to do that because, you know, it keeps spitting out theorems, but you never know whether it will reach your theorem and therefore prove your theorem. Or whether your theorem is just not a theorem, right? So that's why that decidability thing about propositional calculus was a big deal. But like the math systems that we use in that are more complicated and are able to do things like talk about sets and stuff like that, those are not decidable, right? So you can't make a computer program to decide whether a statement is a theorem. Yeah?
For the system on the configuration tree, we assume that every statement in the language is true.
Yeah. Or like every, yeah, like when you have one of these systems, you're like saying, okay, these are my theorems, right? And then the interpretation there said that those theorems are always true under these under this interpretation. Yeah.
Are there some like weaker properties than decidability that are still useful for? But like, what are some like really good properties that we want?
So completeness. So, the statement I wrote there that, like, something is true if and only if it's true at all worlds, at all stuff, right? That's an if and only if. One direction is soundness, which means that, you know, basically you can't prove alpha and not alpha at the same time, right? And the other direction is completeness, which means that it has every theorem that you can possibly do, right? In other words, adding another axiom makes it wrong, right? At least wrong under the interpretation that you want, right? So a lot of the basic things are complete, but then, you know, if you've heard of Gödel's incompleteness theorem, that says that some things are not complete. Meaning with the interpretation we want, we can't list every theorem we expect to have. Or we can't get every theorem we expect to have with a finite set of axioms. So completeness is good, but it doesn't happen. And something I didn't say is that K is actually decidable. It's not obvious because that theorem says that you have to check every possible universe, right? Like every possible relation between worlds, and there are infinitely many of those, but you can figure out how, like, you take a statement, you can figure out which relations you need to check, and just check those.
So, box is a way of describing, like, a relation, and, like, one bone with, like, all the other bones?
Yeah.
Okay. And then, so, why do we, I guess you already kind of touched on this, but, like, why do we just call it that, like, necessarily, or it always will be?
Well, that depends on how we're interpreting these
things, right?
You know, with a necessarily thing, you can, with these semantics, you can imagine that you're saying something is necessarily true if, in every possible world, you can imagine it's true, right? Like, I'd say it's necessarily true that there are at least 15 chairs. I can imagine in this room. I can imagine there being anywhere between 10 and, I mean, between like 20 and 100, but, because I haven't looked at them. And then there are other axioms that people sometimes want to add to talk about different ideas and try to make rigorous different ideas of philosophy, which don't work with this type of relation model. And there it gets